Robert Reed joins us by phone tonight. He is National Geographic's offbeat observer, along with being spokesperson for Lonely Planet, as well as having written over 24 Lonely Planet guidebooks for various destinations. In addition to writing about travel, he's also a videographer, and the tagline on his website, which includes a weekly 76-second travel show, is Curiosity in Motion. He's here tonight to talk with us about the National Geographic book, Abroad at Home, which focuses on travel in North America. Welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thanks so much.
You wrote a wonderful introduction to Abroad at Home, and it's about the variety of cultural experiences that were in your block growing up in Queens. I thought it very much set the stage for this book, which is subtitled The 600 Best International Travel Experiences in North America. And it includes the beautiful accompanying photographs we expect from National Geographic. Would you take us on a couple of trips via the airways that are included in this book, either from the U.S. or Canada?
It was a lot of fun to work on. I lived in different places, different parts of the world. I've done a lot of travel writing around the world. And when you just look back and think about even just the United States, of how much of the world is here, what an opportunity that is. And so that book just kind of puts that together. One of them that I contributed and researched myself is at the very tip of the United States, the lower eight, the northeastern corner in Maine is French Acadia region. Away from the lighthouses and lobsters on the coast in Maine, you get into French-speaking towns on the New Brunswick border. And the Acadians were there before the British came into the area. And in fact, many were pushed out of the region, and they went on to settle in Louisiana. And that's where you have Cajun culture. So they're linked to these Acadians in the northern part of Maine. You go, and there's like cultural centers and museums and festivals and restaurants where you can have ploys, which is kind of a buckwheat pancake that's served with chicken stew. And I just was floored by this French-speaking pocket of Maine that speaks a type of French that's actually linked to the 17th century that's kind of a time-warp French. The French, the language, has evolved in France, but there it's kind of preserved in that time period. So that's fascinating. You look on the other side of the country, and Boise, Idaho, which is my plans to go this year. I haven't been. It is the biggest population of Basque Americans from the region in Spain and France. About 15,000 live in Boise, and they have an area called the Basque Block downtown, and they have Basque classes for language and cooking, and they have a Basque squash court, which is kind of funny because their squash is so big. Where ours is just like little racquetball courts, but there it's like 3,400 square feet is required, so they had to use an old historic hotel to turn it into the squash court that you can do. But every 5 years in Boise, they have a big Basque festival called the Yeyaldi, and that's this year. And so dance, eat, drink, Spanish-style tapas, wines and things. And you can eat food there at any time. There's restaurants and markets. But just the fact that that Basque culture is thriving in Boise was a surprise to me making this book. That's like one that I want to do, and I live in Oregon now, so that's not that far. So that's on my list to do this year.
You've alluded a bit to this, but how is this information collected, so to speak, and how is it organized?
Well, you have National Geographic writers that are based in all different places and travel all these different things when pooled together, and 14 authors worked on this. So, yeah, not one person could have known all 600 experiences, or most likely couldn't. And so we kind of collected them, picked and choose. You could probably have a sequel book really easy because there's well more than 600 candidates for a book like this. And then it was put together and it's laid out by a region. So you go through and, yeah, down in Louisville, there's the Dainty Championship. You go down and play Dainty. It's a little wood peg that you hit with a broom handle off the street. It pops in the air and then you take a swipe and swing at it. And if you hit it the furthest, you win. What I like about Dainty, it's there in the Germantown in Louisville, is that you have to be 45 to do it, to be eligible. So I'm just barely make the cut, meaning I can be the youngest out there. So that seems perfect for me. So I'm going to try to get some Dainty in this year.
Tell me how you envision somebody using Abroad at Home.
I think there's a real wow factor in a lot of these things. The biggest Hindu temple outside of India is in an Atlanta suburb. There's the longest Icelandic community that's been running in the United States is in the desert in Utah. and they have a lighthouse because they're from a seafaring place, and they're as far from the sea as you can imagine. I think that you can go through this and read and be amazed by that and see the photos kind of in an armchair capacity. I think half of its use is much more practical, though, that it is, in a way, a tool for road trips. If you're driving from Cincinnati to Florida, well, you could catch some dainty if you go through Louisville, or you can see that Hindu temple in Atlanta, or go down to the Vietnamese community in Orlando, or see where St. Augustine, the Spanish heritage in Florida, or the Little Cuba in Tampa. A lot of people think of Miami as the place that with a big Cuban population, but also Tampa has a neighborhood of Ybor. So you almost could kind of plot out your road trip or wherever you may be going or what's near to you and use it to see something that you didn't know was lurking there. Some little surprises. Some are linked to festivals, so you have to think about when you go. But some are just kind of linked to empty stomachs. You go in Paterson, New Jersey, it's a Little Lima, and get ready to eat a lot of Peruvian food. There's a lot of ways to do that. I always find the stomach is the best way as an icebreaker into a different culture. Go and eat stuff.
Yes.
Talk to the people who are there. Find out what else is in the neighborhood and things like that. Plenty of opportunities for that.
You have some wonderfully creative and offbeat suggestions for travel guides. I believe one involved Billy Joel and another one involved Monopoly.
It was like the 75th anniversary for Monopoly a few years ago, and a lot of people maybe don't realize that the Monopoly board was based on Atlantic City, New Jersey, the boardwalk there and all those Kentucky and Virginia Avenue and Baltic Avenue and all those different places, Park Place, are all real places in Atlantic City. So I just went to Atlantic City with a little portable Monopoly board and went and visited them all. Marvin Gardens is misspelled on the Monopoly board, I found out. And you go to these places, and I found that I made a video for it, that you are kind of uncovering an Atlantic City of the past in a way. You end up getting a little bit away from like the casinos that you might see around the coast and into these historic pockets and old bookstores and antique places and kind of diners that have been around forever that are lurking on these streets that are named on the Monopoly board. And I thought that was kind of a really interesting way to approach Atlantic City. And it got me to places I really don't think I would have gone to if I hadn't gone with a Monopoly board as basically my guide.
You've traveled to so many places, maybe you know how many actually, which I'm curious to know. But I'm also curious to know how you prepare for going someplace new.
When you're writing, I do a lot of preparation. I think everyone should read a book about a place, whether it's a novel or some travelogue or a history book or something about a place, because it kind of gives you a head start into the culture. Cincinnati or Argentina, wherever you may be going, there's something you can read about the fabric of that place beforehand. I think everyone should do that. As a writer, I make it as a rule to do that. I'll also look to see movies that are set there or filmed there, and I'll let Netflix kind of help me out a little bit and watch a film or two or something. So that's always key. As a writer, I will always be aware of the conversation that's already there about the place. What do travel magazines or travel sections or even the news say about the Over the Rhine in Cincinnati, if I were writing about that, or if I were going to the Basque Festival in Boise, what's already said about there? I need to know that so that I don't repeat it. I want to add to the conversation. I think it's not a bad model for travel, too. I personally like being as prepared as I can. I like pre-research. And then I like to ignore that when I'm there.
Yes.
I don't have to come up with some strict itinerary that I have to follow. But by finding out, like I went to Quebec City during its winter festival. Quebec really celebrates the winter and the cold, and they have a fantastic winter festival during the carnival. And you have all these events. But I did all this research and found some things that were not part of the festival, but that curling is just a normal thing there. So I contacted the curling place, and I went, and I got a curling lesson. This wasn't part of the festival. This wasn't near the center. You had to go out into these neighborhoods that were kind of removed, and you had to take a drive out a couple miles from where I was based. And then I ended up having a lesson in curling and hanging out with these hilarious curlers that have been doing this all their lives. That was great. I don't have anything like that here. I've never seen that. And that came from pre-research. You don't know what you don't know. So I do find it fun and useful to plan a little bit, as long as I don't make it a mandating everything that I do on the road, that I'm open to things that do come, just the natural kind of whimsy of what opportunities that happen on the road. You can always ignore your plan once you're there.
Yes, yes.
You know, which I try to make a habit of.
Well, I thank you for inspiring us to do that through this wonderful book, Abroad at Home. And thanks so much for visiting with us tonight. It's been delightful to talk with you.
Thanks so much. I enjoyed it.
I've been talking with Robert Reed about the new National Geographic book titled Abroad at Home, The 600 Best International Travel Experiences in North America. You'll find more information about it at wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.